Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. All lines will be on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. At that time, you can press star one to ask a question from the phone lines. I'd also like to inform parties that the call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I'll now turn the call over to Michelle Bonds, Director of the Division of Public Affairs. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today to talk about a condition known as sepsis. We are joined today by the Director of CDC, Dr. Tom Frieden. We are pleased to also have Dr. Mitchell Levy, a sepsis expert and founding member of the Surviving Sepsis Campaign, a global initiative to improve the care of patients with sepsis. First, I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Frieden.
Thanks very much, and thank you for joining us. CDC works 24/7 to protect the health, safety, and security of Americans. This month's Vital Signs focuses on sepsis. Sepsis is caused by the body's overwhelming and often life-threatening response to an infection. It can lead to organ failure and death. Bottom line here is that this report is putting a face on sepsis and documenting that it's still a huge problem and it doesn't have to be. Sepsis is an unrecognized killer. Sepsis is a medical emergency. An infection that's getting worse and not treated can lead to sepsis, and it's scary. I know this firsthand. 22 years ago, when our older son was just 4 months old, I came home from work one day to find him near death. He was completely pale. I didn't know if he was breathing or not, and it turned out that he had bacteria in his blood. We were able to recognize it rapidly, treated rapidly, and he did fine and recovered completely. But he could have died from it, and far too many people do die from sepsis today. Today, we want to inform patients and family members about the dangers of sepsis and call on healthcare providers to take opportunities to prevent, identify, and rapidly treat patients with sepsis and to educate patients and families. The Vital Signs report has new information. We find, and this is surprising to many of the people who work in this field, that sepsis begins outside of the hospital for nearly 80% of patients. That's new and different. We've been focusing on and making progress reducing sepsis in the hospital, in intensive care units, in long-term care facilities, and elsewhere. We also found that 7 out of 10 patients with sepsis had either recently interacted with healthcare providers or had a chronic disease that required frequent medical care. In other words, healthcare providers are on the front lines of both sepsis prevention and early recognition. Prevention really is possible. For example, if a patient with diabetes goes to their regular doctor and is found to have increased blood sugar and a small wound on their foot, this is a prime opportunity to think about infections and reduce the risk of sepsis. In addition to treating the infection, the clinician can inform the patient and family members about how to care for the wound, how to recognize the signs that the infection may be getting worse, and when to seek additional medical care. If the infection gets worse, the patient could be at risk for sepsis. Taking the opportunity to both treat and inform patients could save their life, and helping patients know to ask, could this be sepsis, empowers patients and families and could save lives. And I draw your attention to a graphic that outlines 6 of the key signs and symptoms of sepsis. These are not widely known. Shivering or feeling cold, pain or discomfort, clammy or sweaty skin, being confused or disoriented, short of breath, and having a rapid heartbeat. Sepsis most oftenly occurs in people over the age of 65 or in infants under the age of 1. People with chronic diseases such as diabetes or weakened immune systems from things like tobacco use are at higher risk of sepsis. But even healthy people can develop sepsis from an infection, especially if it's not treated properly and promptly. We also found that sepsis is most often associated with 4 different types of infection: infections of the lung, urinary tract, skin, and intestines or gut. We also found that several bacteria were the most common germs that cause sepsis. We as a country could do much more to prevent patients from getting infections that lead to sepsis. Prevention can be done, for example, by increasing vaccination rates for pneumococcal disease and for influenza, because the flu is often followed by bacterial infections. We could also prevent infections by improving hand washing in healthcare facilities as well as in the community. Second, we can improve recognition of sepsis both in the community and in healthcare facilities and act fast if sepsis is suspected in a patient. This is one of the things that will help us to do this is to inform patients and families about preventing infections that could lead to sepsis and recognizing the signs of sepsis early. The Sepsis Alliance released a survey today noting that only about half of Americans had heard of sepsis and 3 out of 4 Americans didn't know the signs and symptoms of sepsis, those 6 signs that I mentioned earlier. We could protect more people by educating patients and families about signs and symptoms when they seek medical care. Patients, parents, and families can educate themselves about sepsis as well, knowing how to recognize an infection, whether it's getting worse, connecting with healthcare providers, improving management of chronic disease, vaccinating to prevent infections, and hand washing to prevent infections from spreading. If you or your loved one is sick, don't be afraid to ask your healthcare provider, could this be sepsis? CDC takes a comprehensive approach to sepsis prevention, early recognition, and management. We detect, respond, and prevent infectious diseases. Some of these are by vaccination. Infections such as pneumococcus, which is what my son had, and Haemophilus influenza type B infections were once leading causes of sepsis in babies and young children, but because of vaccination, we see hardly any of this a year. We continue to invest about $4 billion a year in the vaccination program in this country to prevent those infections, but we have much more to do. We've also been able to reduce the rates of some infections that cause sepsis in healthcare facilities by half, but preventing more infections and stopping the spread of antibiotic-resistant infections will protect even more patients from sepsis. In addition, we're expanding CDC's sepsis early recognition efforts. We'll be launching a sepsis awareness campaign in the coming year. This will be a multi-year, multi-million dollar campaign. We'll host a series of continuing education opportunities for healthcare providers regarding sepsis starting this month. We continue to engage healthcare provider organizations, patients, and family members regarding sepsis prevention and sepsis early recognition, and we're working to improve the national tracking of sepsis. The bottom line is that sepsis is a medical emergency which occurs 8 out of 10 times or starts 8 out of 10 times outside of the hospital. It's still a huge problem, and it doesn't have to be. The mortality rate from sepsis is between 15% and 30%, and many of the people who survive sepsis will end up with a prolonged stay in a nursing home or other long-term care facility. This report gives us, really for the first time, an anatomy of sepsis. We now know where people get it. 8 out of 10 people get it outside of the hospital. Who gets it? 7 out of 10 recently got medical care or have a chronic disease. And what they get? 4 key infections with several key bacteria. All of us can do more to prevent and recognize sepsis early so that we protect more people from sepsis and inform and educate patients and their families to treat infections promptly, act fast when sepsis does occur. I'd now like to ask Dr. Mitchell Levy, a clinical expert on sepsis, to provide his thoughts. Dr. Levy?
Thank you, Tom. And I think we agree clearly that sepsis is a critical public health issue. We have made tremendous progress in sepsis. And the 3 most important things that we've learned is, first, we now understand the importance of early identification and treatment of sepsis. Second, we have seen improved survival through routine screening and treatment that is integrated into the workflow of hospitals. And third, frontline healthcare providers really do make a difference. What's clear is we need to expand these successes to other parts of the hospitals and other care locations. As you just mentioned, Tom, 80% of sepsis happens outside of the hospitals, and CDC's vital sign report calls on all frontline healthcare providers to understand what sepsis is and screen patients for sepsis. frontline healthcare providers are our first line of defense against sepsis. We have found in the Surviving Sepsis campaign recently that educating and empowering nurses to do routine every shift screening can have a tremendous impact on sepsis mortality, transfer to the intensive care unit, and make a real difference in the kind of care these folks get on the hospital floors. So sepsis is not just happening in critical care units, it's happening on the hospital floors, clearly the emergency departments, and outside the hospital as well. So what can healthcare providers do? Well, I think there are a few things. First, prevent infections in patients. Make sure that staff are following infection control requirements. Second, we need to educate patients and their families about sepsis so they can become partners with healthcare providers in the early identification of sepsis based on the signs and symptoms that you just talked about, Tom. Third, thinking about sepsis. Sepsis is fairly common. I think just recently, you already mentioned the survey that was released that showed that the public is not aware enough about sepsis, so we need to do more to educate the public. Then next is acting fast, administering early antibiotics, and finally, reassessing antibiotic choices so that we can perform good antibiotic stewardship programs across the United States in hospitals. So I think we can make tremendous progress in improving sepsis early recognition and care, but it is going to take a partnership between healthcare providers and the public working together to being vigilant, identifying sepsis early, and treating sepsis appropriately. And I also want to thank the CDC for highlighting this important public health issue. Tom, I'll hand it back to you now.
Thank you very much, Dr. Levy. The bottom line here is that sepsis is a medical emergency. The recognition and treatment of sepsis is a race against time, and we can protect more people from sepsis by informing patients and their families, treating infections promptly, and acting fast when sepsis does occur. Now I'll turn it back for questions.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden. Sarah, I believe we're ready for questions. Please take the first question.
Thank you. At this time, it is star 1 to ask a question. Please unmute your phone and record your name at the prompt. Once again, it is star 1 to ask a question. One moment, please. Our first question comes from Mike Stoke with Associated Press. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a couple of questions, if I could. Prior to this study, what was the best estimate of what proportion of cases first occurred outside the hospital? You said this one found it to be about 80%. What did we think it was before that? And then I have a fall.
Thank you. And let me turn that question over to Dr. Tony Fiore. I think basically there have been less rigorous analyses and less current analyses that these are not out of line with, but this is really the first time we have a definitive number. But Dr. Fiore?
That's correct, Dr. Frieden. Thanks. Previous analyses have shown that there is a considerable amount, usually a majority in most analyses, of people who develop their initial symptoms of sepsis outside the hospital, and then they present to the emergency room at their provider. I think what we did differently here is we really did delve deeply into sorts of interactions they'd had with healthcare in the previous month to get a sense of where there might be prevention steps, where there might actually help prevent sepsis. And so using the interventions we have now and the ones that we hope to have in the coming years, we now know that there are places where people with sepsis do interact with healthcare and could be helped.
Okay, thanks. And could you also say, I guess I might have missed it, or maybe I'm asking you to repeat, what's the incidence and what are the estimates of how many people get and die in the United States? How many people get and die from sepsis each year? And what's the trend? Has that been going down or holding steady? Dr. Levy talked about we have made a tremendous amount of progress. I wasn't sure what he was referring to. And also, could you clarify, what are you asking doctors to do if they think it's sepsis? Do a blood draw and do a blood test? And that's it. Thank you.
Sure. So I'll start, and then I'll ask Dr. Fiore and then Dr. Levy to comment. Some published reports estimate that there are between 1 and 3 million people a year in the U.S. diagnosed with sepsis each year, and that between 15 and 30% of these patients will die. In terms of what we're asking doctors to do, as you know, there is no blood test for sepsis. And that's one of the things that's challenging in terms of both its recognition and its enumeration. So what we do expect is that doctors will draw blood cultures if they think someone has sepsis, and then, if clinically appropriate, start them on broad-spectrum antibiotics, and then reassess 24 to 48 hours later to determine whether they need any antibiotics, those antibiotics, or more narrowly targeted antibiotics. Mike, was there another question that you asked that I didn't?
Trend. Are there fewer or more deaths each year?
We know that there are certain trends that are very positive. For example, Haemophilus influenza sepsis has been dramatically reduced. We know that, for example, Staph aureus, MRSA, in intensive care units has come down by half. But in terms of the overall numbers, it's challenging because there is no standard definition of sepsis or reporting of sepsis, and that's one of the things that we will be working on to improve going forward. But we know that however much there is, it's too much, and we can do a better job preventing it, recognizing it early, treating it effectively, and preventing death. Dr. Fiore and then Dr. Levy.
Thanks, Dr. Frieden. That's correct. The general trend has been an increase in sepsis cases over time. This is partly due to changing definitions of what sepsis is, and also recognition of people who previously had been just identified as having a severe infection now actually being recognized as having a form of sepsis. That's the trend. The good news is the mortality has generally been going down. This is probably the result of more aggressive active interventions that the care societies and so on have done a great job of pulling together. And so those are the general trends.
Thank you.
So,
Levy, if you had more,
I agree with what's been said. I think it's important to remember that sepsis is the single most expensive condition treated in the United States, about $20.3 billion in 2011. The mortality rate, although going down, still remains quite high. It's 15 to 25% or so. So that's a significant number, about 300,000 people in the U.S. die of sepsis every year. So although the mortality rate seems to be going down based on appropriate treatment, we still have a long way to go.
Next question, please.
Once again, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. One moment for that to come through. Presently, we are not showing any further questions.
Okay, well, let me just reiterate that sepsis is a medical emergency, and we can protect more people by informing patients and families, empowering them to ask, could this be sepsis, treating infections promptly, preventing infections where possible, acting fast when sepsis does occur. There's more we can do to reduce deaths from sepsis. Dr. Levy, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I would just echo what you said. I think the partnership between providers and the public remains a very important next step.
Thank you for joining us today. For follow-up questions, call the press office at 404-639-6386 or send an email to media@cdc.gov. Thank you for joining us. This concludes our call.
That does conclude today's call. Thank you all for participating. You may disconnect your lines at this time.